Hello.
Hey, how's it going, everyone? This is Yusuf.
And Genoa.
And this is
In-Flight Entertainment.
The throwback episodes. How's it going, everyone? I hope everyone is ready, lacing up their dancing shoes. We laying out the cardboard. We're breaking out the boom box, and we are about to start pop locking with the throwback edition of Breakin'.
Yep, the 1984 breakdancing movie that takes place in Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. I almost suggested that we go down to Venice and record this there, but that takes too much effort.
Yeah, and people want to just talk over us and
right.
stuff like that.
You'd get crazy people coming up and talking to you, but
mm-hmm. I know how to breakdance. Yeah. I know how to breakdance. Look at me. No, we don't need that.
Anyway. Right. but for those of you not familiar with Breakin', it is about a struggling young jazz dancer who is introduced to the world of hip-hop breakdancing, and her two new friends set the dancing world aflame.
To say the least.
Yeah.
Yes. So pretty much our main character is Kelly. Right?
Right. Or Special K.
See, we have to build today. And she's, she's auditioning and... Actually,
she left Vegas and moved to Los Angeles to become a respectable dancer.
She's staying with her parents right now.
Oh, I missed that part. I caught that she was a 20-year-old waitress, and her girlfriend that was in Vegas making it big as a dancer said that she was too old to do dancing anymore, and that made me feel sad for her.
Yeah, and so she's in this dance class. This is like a class, right? With the sleazy instructor, choreographer.
Yeah, it's like a dance class slash where you audition slash connect with other dancers to find out where you can become part of a troupe.
Right. And in this class, she have a friend. I forget his name.
He's the gay black friend. Phineas or Cupcake, whatever.
Yeah, so you know,
I didn't catch his real name. I know his name was Cupcake.
Right. Yeah.
His nickname.
Right. So one day Cupcake asked Kelly, you know, you should come with me.
I'm gonna go meet some friends down in Venice.
You should totally come. You should come check this out. And she's all like, I don't know. I don't think so. You could go ahead. So, you know, you have to check these guys out. They are awesome. Come on. So they get in there. They convertible bug. They drive on down to Venice Beach where they see a crowd and they hear music and they walk up to, you know, to see what's the hubbub about. And then we are introduced to Turbo and Ozone, the two breakers.
Right. So for all those people that haven't seen this, basically imagine Showtime or anytime you're in a city or in a park and there's a bunch of people dancing with a crowd around. That's exactly what this scene was. But they weren't asking for money like they do Showtime in Times Square places in New York.
Right. They were just
they're just out there dancing for the joy of it, for the fun, and because it makes them happy.
Exactly. And Kelly sees this energy, this new thing. Like, what is it? What are they doing? It's awesome. It is new. It is fresh.
Right. And her friend Cupcake gets her to get out there and dance. And she does a little jazz dance break dancing.
She does a little spins and stuff like that. Impresses Ozone.
Right. Ozone, he has a crush on Kelly.
Which is rightfully so, because I was crushing on Kelly back in the days, too. I mean, she was a cutie. Now, she had her little short hair.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think I had that same haircut in 84, so it was like the short haircut that Princess Diana had, basically.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, no, Kelly was cool. Doing her little backflips, her little splits. Like, go ahead, Kelly.
Right. So, Breakin' is really, like, it was a safe way to introduce urban culture or urban dancing to the white folks out there. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So pretty much it was like, oh, listen to Sugar Hill Gang and then watch.
Right. So I was so while I was watching this, I was like, well, I wanted to look at the timeline for how things were introduced to the mainstream when it came to rap and hip hop and specifically dancing. So in 1980, Blondie introduced people to Grandmaster Flash during the song Rapture. Right.
Yeah, yeah.
And then 82 and 83, Grandmaster Flash released The Message and White Lines, which were both popular songs on the club circuit. And then Breakin' came out in 84. And that really, Breakin', I feel like, from my perspective, was an easier way. Or it was just like the next step for people getting more and more comfortable with this culture. And then the year after that, or 2 years after that, Run DMC partners with Aerosmith to release Walk This Way. So it's a nice lead up to. And then a year after that, Yo MTV Raps comes out. So it's a nice like trajectory for the hip hop rap culture,
making it safe
for the white people to listen to.
Wow, thanks for that. That's a really good timeline. Good insight.
So while I was watching this, I was like, oh, it was really they had the nice young white dancer going and partnering with the black dudes, and then there's so many scenes in the movie where they're convincing like the old white establishment that it's okay and it's dancing and it is art and converting everyone's mind. Like that entire movie was all about educating people that it's okay and safe and it is dancing.
Exactly. Like, look, there's a white woman in this group. Right. It's fine. And she's not mugged.
Right.
We should accept that.
The first scene where she goes to meet up with Turbo and Ozone at the nightclub.
Oh.
Where Ice-T is DJing.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah. So, you have to mention Ice-T in this one. Ice-T.
Well, did you see how she was holding her purse when she walked into the nightclub? She was doing the typical like the white woman walking into a bad neighborhood. Sorry. A scare. It doesn't have to be a white woman. It could be any naive person.
Look, people are listening to us here. They want to hear the real. All right. So spit the real, Genoa.
Clutching the purse underneath her arm.
Yes. Yeah, like she was clutching a football to run into a touchdown.
Exactly. Relax.
Yeah.
You're in a nightclub with some friends.
Yeah, but then
no one's drinking. You're listening to Ice-T.
Yeah, you listen to Ice-T, rocking out, hip-hopping.
Doing very PG-13 stuff for him.
Exactly. I mean, this is before he went full gangster rap. You know, he had like the spike leather on, he had like the big glasses. Yeah, no, he's like breaking vinyl records. I mean, he was, it was a different Ice-T.
Yeah, this is a safe one.
It was a safe one, Before Cop Killer Ice-T, which is also, it's so funny. It's like you said, going back and watching, it's like, wow, this is some retro stuff in here.
So good.
Okay, question. Okay, now just rewind this back. If you guys did not hear our Bloodsport Throwback Thursday episode, Genoa mentioned Jean-Claude Van Damme.
Oh, I forgot to look for him in the audience.
Do, 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 do.
Did you look for him in the audience?
No, actually, I didn't either. which is an excuse for me to go back and watch it again. Which I have no problem doing.
Right. So in the beach scene when Kelly's first meeting Turbo and Ozone, apparently Jean-Claude Van Damme is in the audience watching all the dancers. So yeah, we have to go back.
We got to go back and spot him. Once we spot him, we got to do a special 1 minute. We spotted him at two.
We'll just take a screen grab and post it. Yeah.
All right, good night. We found them. So pretty much like we're in. Oh, wait, but hold on now. I think we're jumping around.
Yeah, we're jumping around, but that's okay.
But okay, so Kelly.
Right. So Kelly, as we mentioned, was working with a famous LA choreographer. Mm-hmm.
He was getting a little rapey.
He sexually assaulted her. Mm-hmm. And
like, dance with emotion. Right. Dance like you mean it.
And then he pushes her up against the mirror and like starts molesting her. Mm-hmm. So she runs and decides that she doesn't want to be a part of that anymore.
So him being connected in this world threatens her, saying, "You're never gonna work. You're never gonna get a good, like, long as I'm around, you're not gonna like advance, because I know everyone in this town."
Right, because he runs the dance world in Los Angeles. Right, so he thinks.
Yeah, so pretty much like, if he don't give the okay, you don't get a job.
Yeah.
So that's what he was.
And because she didn't give in to his sexual advances, she's fucked.
Yeah. So she retreats. She don't necessarily retreat. She just go to Turbo and Ozone.
Well, she thinks that she's going to give up dancing, and then her friend Cupcake convinces her let's go to the club. Let's see Turbo and Ozone, and that's where we see her clutching her purse and Ice T doing his thing.
Exactly, you know. And so, and Ozone is happy to see Kelly.
Oh, because Special K. Yes.
So Ozone calls her Special K. It's like, hey, you need a name. You know, everybody got to have like a dance name.
A nickname.
So he's Special K. Yes, you were special. But, I mean, I love the dynamic between Turbo and Ozone. They're like brothers, right? Like, it's like a brother, you know, father-son type relationship. Right. Like, Ozone is like the older, he's like the leader. He have like that leadership quality about.
Right.
And Turbo is kind of like the fast thinker. He's the one that could, like, that would die first in like a fight dance situation. Because there were fight dances out. I mean, it existed. So at this club, we were introduced to a rival.
We saw that in West Side Story, the fight dancing.
Yes. But this was some straight, but this is some hip hop. Right. Which made it funky. So now we're introduced to like a rival crew.
Right. So they're at the dance club and it's like the rival. It's a dance off.
What was their name? Electros. Yeah. Electros. Then he walk up to Ozone. The leader of Electros walk up to Ozone. The Electros rule the dance floor.
And they have a secret weapon this time. Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, so Kelly is just sitting and been back just watching this like, whoa, there's beef in this world of breakdancing. Like, they take this really serious. So Turbo and Ozone, like, whatever, bring it. So Turbo and Ozone doing their pop locking and spinning, and they doing their, you know, kicking and, like, you know, arm snap. And so the Electrodes is like, ha, check this out. They step to the side, and who bursts out? They have a woman.
Oh, my gosh.
That's just coming out, just pop locking, pop, 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 boom, 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 boom.
Women can't dance.
But she schooled both of them.
She did.
And Turbo Ozone just like...
She was an awesome dancer.
Oh, yes. Oh, my God. She was like just, you know, she was doing it. And so Turbo Ozone is shocked. They're like, whoa. They knew they lost because that secret weapon Electro had, they had no defense then. So they pretty much like kind of like hung their heads and kind of walked off the dance floor.
Now like Kelly, Turbo, and Ozone are all in a similar mindset. They're all sort of dejected. Their dreams of being the kings of the dance world, whether it's jazz or breakdancing, they've all been rejected by basically their community. Mm-hmm. And so them coming together re-inspires each other to step it up a level and combine jazz and breaking.
Mm-hmm. Which they do very well.
Right. Now you have like basically, it felt like to me, 20 minutes of music montages of them.
Oh, which is awesome.
Dancing and rehearsing.
It's an 80s movie. You gotta have montages. Yeah. It was. I mean,
and there's like a break in the montage for them to visit a honky tonk restaurant in Los Angeles.
Thank you so much for bringing this up.
What? Okay.
Yes.
There are honky tonk restaurants in Los Angeles.
I have not seen one yet.
Where everyone's wearing cowboy hats and Wranglers and playing country.
Would I see
with southern accents?
I swear, I thought they drove to like Texas or something. I'm like, what? Why they drive all the way to Texas? I'm like, because this definitely don't seem like LA at all.
Yeah.
So, okay.
And then they get into a fight and everything, and
I think
run away from.
I think the producers were like, wouldn't it just be cool just to have like a brawl in this movie somehow?
So yeah, they found the one honky tonk in Los Angeles
that don't exist at all. Yeah. Thank you for bringing that up. Because every time I watch that movie, that one scene just sticks to like a sword though. Like, why?
So that really like brings them together as a crew and a dance team. So now they're going to go to the back to the dance club to take on the other dance crew.
Yeah, they're about to get back at the Electros because Electros don't expect Ozone a turbo secret weapon, which is Special K.
Right, because she's a white chick at a hip hop club, so
they're like,
she definitely can't dance.
Yeah, so think of this as a Woody Harrelson Wesley Snipes situation. The white man can't jump. they was like hustling the ball court. Like, oh yeah, just pick anybody. Oh, pick the white boy. He can't play. So that's what happened in this situation, what it is,
yeah.
So Kelly was like, oh, she's pop locking.
Except. I'm sorry. She showed up in a fucking costume. She has her like sparkly shirt on and her leotard.
Yeah, leggings.
She looks like she's ready to perform at a dance recital, not go to a nightclub and dance with some friends.
And
she also brought her agent with her so that he could see them dance.
Yeah.
So that he could get
He could be a believer.
Right. So he could be a believer and then also get them some work.
Exactly. But that sparkly Kelly One Piece, whatever worked.
I had an issue with the sparkling.
I have no issues with clothes on Kelly. So she did her thing. She did her flips. She did her splits. And now Electros was like, whoa, snap.
Right.
Actually, their name is TKO. Remember? Like, Turbo Kelly Ozone. TKO. They're like, cool.
I missed that.
Yeah, so they're TKO now. So TKO took out the Electros.
Although, personally, the Electros were still better dancers. You know they are.
I don't know, man.
They're much better dancers.
Kelly did them backflips. I didn't see the Electro girl.
That's gymnastics. That's not dancing.
Well, you know, that goes a long way. And it was Kelly, damn it. So now the manager is a believer. It's like, oh, wow, this is awesome.
Right.
I'm going to get you some work.
There's some sort of big, giant dance thing coming up. And all the best dance groups are trying out for it so that they can be featured. And you guys need to go try out for it also.
Right.
So he calls in all of his favors with all the old white people to get them an audition.
Yeah.
And he convinces them the only way they can get an audition is if they show up in fancy clothes.
Yeah, no tux.
Right. So Turbo, Ozone, and Kelly show up in tuxedos, basically.
Yeah, exactly. Wait, hold on. Rewind it back. Now, there's also a scene where Kelly introduced them,
they have a fundraiser.
The fundraiser, right. And that's where you run into the sleazy, rapey
choreographer.
Yeah. Right. And they're like, oh, Kelly, you were here.
Yeah.
Don't expect to see. Because I'm just paraphrasing this, but that's the gist of like his...
So Ozone and creepy choreographer get in each other's face, and that's where the choreographer is like, you're never going to dance in this city.
Uh-huh. Yeah, another dejected situation.
Honestly, most of the white guys in this movie are pretty creepy. I mean, even her agent, he keeps doing things that are sort of crossing the line of like, does he want to date her? Or he even says things like, well, I would do anything for you. And she's like, you mean you'll do anything for us? He's like, yes, of course, that's what I mean. Yeah. And he sends her gift baskets and he wants to take her out to dinner.
Yeah,
all the white dudes are all creepy in this movie.
It was good. But in the end, he turned out to be a good one because he actually got that audition for
Right. I mean, yeah, he didn't sexually assault her. No. So
and, okay, and plus he get a pass because he moonwalked. Mm-hmm. Doing that whole montage, right. And he just started moonwalking. I'm like, oh, okay, you're okay, you good.
Yeah. Also, his suit.
God bless you.
His suit. I mean, the '80s clothing so bad. '80s suits. Oh, basically, it's the same suit that Donald Trump is wearing today. So just imagine that, but on a, someone that's worse. Not necessarily fat.
Yeah.
And then they audition for this giant dance off thing.
So
they show up to the rehearsal, to the audition, mm-hmm. and the old white, the creepy choreographer convinces the judges that their type of dancing isn't wanted around here. Uh-huh. And then Ozone gets pissed.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, you're going to watch us dance. He gets in their face and then he starts dancing. He rips off his sleeves. Did you see the editing mistake there?
Was it already off? One cut?
So there's one. They're showing Ozone. He rips off his sleeves and then they cut over to Kelly. Or Turbo rips off his sleeves.
Right.
Ozone does, because he's in front of the judges.
Right.
And then they cut over to Kelly and Turbo, and they rip off their sleeves. And then they go back to Ozone in front of the judges, and he's dancing. Mm. And you can see them in the background with their sleeves still on. I was like, sleeves! Sleeves!
Continuity boo-boo. Continuity boo-boo. Yeah, it's the 80s.
Yeah.
There was a lot of continuity boos.
But, so, and then Ozone and Kelly join, or I'm sorry, Turbo and Kelly join Ozone out on the stage, and they do their little performance. Mm-hmm. And at the beginning, the judges are like, no, we don't want you.
Stop.
It's from the Muppets. Imagine like the old guys up in the balcony.
Yeah.
It's like that type of old people.
Yeah. What is wrecking? Right. What is this?
And then halfway through, they start moving and dancing. And the end, they're standing up and dancing. And like, yes, this is the best. You guys win. You're our favorite dance troupe.
Exactly. Yeah. And then they made it. They did it. And then we cut to the actual
performance. Yeah.
And it was
Right. The final performance, because they won the dance off at the audition. The final performance of TKO is the three of them. Plus, basically, I feel like every dancer that was shown in the movie, except for the creepy choreographer.
Yeah. You know, it was cool.
It was an awesome combination of jazz, modern, and
hip-hop
dancing. Yeah.
But what was nice of them or whoever did this play or music number that they are doing, you know, they brought in the electros. You know, like the electros is like,
that's,
you know, dancing.
That's because they're the better dancers.
I don't know. Turbo can rip them. Okay, you have to tell them about the broom. Tell them.
Okay, so at the beginning, so Yusuf mentioned that Turbo and Ozone sort of have that older brother, younger brother, father, son, like, dynamic. So they actually work at a grocery store together.
Mm-hmm.
And Ozone tells Turbo that he needs to go out and stop dancing. He's no Fred Astaire. Go outside and sweep the sidewalk.
Uh-huh.
And then Turbo goes out there and there's a nice little dancing scene where he's dancing with a broom.
Yeah.
And I was immediately like, oh, that's the Fred Astaire. Like, that's an awesome reference to Fred Astaire. A little bit foreshadowing. You're not Fred Astaire. And he goes out there and dances. So there is a movie where Fred Astaire dances with a coat rack. And what did we say that was?
Was it wedding? No, wait.
Oh, it's the Royal Wedding.
Royal Wedding, yeah.
Yeah. And it's the Hat Rack Dance, and you can find that on YouTube. And
I totally didn't catch that until you told me.
Yeah.
Oh, you know how many times I've seen this movie?
Right. And I
went over my head.
I bring the square white person perspective to this.
This movie's for everyone. This movie's for everyone. You know, and then Turbo, you know, he levitates the broom. He right. Like,
it's magic and dancing.
And I don't know if you see like some of the cuts, you see the actual light fish line on there. That's awesome. You know, and I told Genoa, Turbo to me, you know, like I said, he was
the original
X-Men. You know, because he was levitating stuff. You know, he was.
And my argument was Fred Astaire was, because he was getting the coat rack to do things that you wouldn't expect.
See, but the thing was, Fred Astaire was dancing with the coat rack. So it was still kind of like
Turbo.
But Turbo was like levitating stuff. He was like pushing it away and bringing it back, like Magneto style, you know. So I don't know.
I think you need Turbo to go back and watch the Fred Astaire dance.
I'm going to do it, but I'm just saying. I think Turbo
Fred Astaire was the original X-Man.
I'm not going to argue against that. I mean, Fred Astaire, get mad love. I love Fred Astaire. But just saying.
Right.
X-Men wasn't around.
So I when I was a kid, I loved this movie. I wanted to be Kelly. I wanted to dance like her. I wanted to do break dancing. I tried to learn how to spin on my back. And
How did that work out?
It didn't. I'm not coordinated like that. That's crazy.
Now, was that okay? Because, you know, down in Austin, Texas, right?
Yeah.
That's where you were. Okay. So let me ask you this. When that came on the scene when you were little, was it permeating in like your neighborhood? Like,
there were kids that were trying to break dance and had their cardboard and
boombox
and their checkered pants and everything. Nice. Yes. But it was also, I think I want to say the Beastie Boys were also coming out. So you had, I think it was We Have the Right to Party was probably.
You gotta fight.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
So I think that came out right around then. So you were having some rap sort of enter the mainstream. So I was in a very small town in way South Texas, but it was the things that were safe were making it to us. So breaking was definitely quote unquote safe.
Yeah. Oh, totally. This is the safest movie.
For the general, you know, general public.
Oh, totally. Yeah. You can take your family to see this movie. It was no issues at all. No.
I mean, except for the like rapey scene, but he doesn't actually rape her.
No. It just like
touches her
and like,
it's a sexual assault.
It could have been a lot worse.
Right.
Because then when he started like, that's what Kelly was like, oh, get away from me.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is more about dancing and. It was sort of a family movie.
It was a family movie.
Yeah. You'd see worse things in the 80s on after school specials, honestly.
Yeah, it was like these outcasts banding together and creating a family with these three individuals. Like they are kind of a family in a way.
And combining their skills to be more powerful than they were before.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Appreciating their other like culture, like, you know, Kelly's world and Kelly appreciating, you know, Ozone's world, you know. But
it's funny because in my mind, I had I had remembered Kelly as so all the actors in this movie were dancers before they were actors. So yeah,
and you could tell.
The acting in the movie is not fantastic because everyone is a trained dancer. And the woman that plays Kelly, she's a very good dancer.
Yeah.
She is not a very good break dancer.
No, not really.
Everything she does is jazz or modern dance. And maybe sometimes she makes them a little bit sharper to make it feel like, oh, look, I'm doing breaking.
Right.
But no.
Yeah. Now, actually, like her upper body kind of arm popping and swinging, like she can pull that off. But once she start getting on the floor and start like doing the twisting, like
no,
that's why she do a lot of flipping just to make up for her lack of
right
spinning on the floor. whatever, but Kelly was still awesome. Right, I mean, I have a soft spot.
Right. Her name was Lucinda Dickey. And she was on... this is really the only thing she was on.
Oh, she was in... what was it? It was a ninja movie. What was it? It was Ninja something. It was...
Really?
It wasn't Revenge of the Ninja. It was something else. Because I remember this movie so well because she was in it.
Ninja 3.
The Revenge or something like that?
Ninja 3, The Domination.
The Domination, yes. Because like an evil ninja spirit takes over her. And then she turns like evil.
It's the evil ninja attempts to avenge his death from beyond the grave by possessing an innocent woman's body. Wow.
Yes, I remember this movie so well because Kelly was in it. I was like, Kelly's in a ninja movie. Get out of here. Yeah, I remember watching that and we were like, yeah, this movie is so bad. But Kelly's in it, though, so it's all good. That's got to be a throwback.
I don't know about that. I get sucked into those ninja movies and all of a sudden I watch all of them.
Speaking of, okay, did you finish the rest of the American Ninja timeline yet? Or are you just 1, 2 and you're done?
So far, one, two, and I'm done. You keep giving me homework to watch other movies.
Okay, good. Okay, that's good. I'm glad I don't keep doing it until you forget about this whole monstrosity of American Ninja sequels.
I mean, they're on my Amazon Prime waiting for me to watch them.
Okay, well, I'm just going to keep it. Now, watch this instead. Watch this instead.
Break-In. We will eventually review Break-In 2.
Electric Boogaloo.
And the documentary associated with it. Because
it's amazing.
Are also on my Amazon Prime list for me to watch.
Yeah. If you haven't seen Electric Boogaloo, it's a long title. The two people who created or started Canon Films, which gave us Break-In, which gave us Masters of the Universe, and all these amazing gems.
And the American Ninja.
And American Ninja. Delta Force, most of the 80s Chuck Norris stuff was on the Canon. It's an amazing and crazy documentary. Check it out. I have to thank Canon because they gave us Break-In, so something good came out of it.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like Break-In probably inspired a lot of kids to try to dance, and to this day, you see them on the subway. In New York City doing Showtime.
That's true. Yeah, they need to take it back to the days of Turbo and Ozone. Just do it for lunch. Do your thing.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah.
So, I searched everywhere on where to find this. It's not on Netflix. It's not on Amazon Prime. So it is a difficult movie to find. So if you want to watch it, I don't know. Good luck. But the second Break-In is on Amazon Prime. So.
Yes, but don't watch the second. Well, you can watch the second. Don't watch the first one.
Yeah, just read the Wikipedia page for Break-In. You'll miss all the fun dancing and the character introduction, and you miss Ice-T being PG-13.
Yeah. Even though Ice-T's in the second one, only for a little bit, but he's in the second one too. But
I'll have to go discover that.
Yeah, but he wasn't, Ice-T like the first break. But it's all good. But yeah, so would you give, okay.
I mean, this is smooth flying for this one because it's nostalgic. It was better than, it was good. It's not as bad as other things that I've watched from the 80s. I've gone back and watched. I was like, what the F was I watching as a kid? This one, all the dancing scenes, the dancing is very good. Some of the music's not that great, but whatever. Yeah, it's the 80s.
It's the 80s, whatever. Yeah, when they go into like the break-in, break beats, we're good. But
I do. There was. I actually, it had a nice message in there about dancing being sort of the thing that makes people happy, and Ozone is talking to Kelly, is like, well, I do this because it's in my heart and it makes me happy. And he wants to go show her that, like the people that are dancing down on Venice Beach aren't doing it because they have to. They're doing it because it brings them joy.
Right. And you see little kids like pop locking.
Right, but you also see like this one guy on crutches that is dancing. And oh my God, he's amazing.
Yeah, he's the real deal.
Yeah, so he must have like spina bifida or something, so he doesn't have a lot of great use of his legs, basically the waist down.
Yeah, and he was spinning on his legs.
Dude, he totally takes advantage of that. So totally worth it for that scene, like watching this dude dance on his crutches.
Right. And the Turbo X-Men room scene.
Right. The Fred Astaire scene.
Yes.
So, I mean, the dancing was fantastic. Music could use some work, but nostalgia, it's a fun movie to watch. And it's only an hour and a half, so you can watch it like a nice short flight.
Yeah, and you feel good after when they go off. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, they made it. You know, and that whole freeze frame and them jumping in the air towards the camera. You know, classic 80s freeze frame before the end credits.
Right.
So it was cool. I mean, like I said, I love this movie. You know, this is one of my favorites.
If you've seen this, if you remember it, if you go back and watch it, why don't you email us and tell us your thoughts at inflightentertainment2018@gmail.com.
If you remember seeing this in theaters, please give us your story.
I did not see it at the theater. The theater was a 30-minute drive from my home. It was only special movies we went to go see, and this was not one of those that my parents was going to take me.
Yeah, point taken. My older brother and sister, I used to go to see movies like this, like Purple Round Top, because my parents used to tell my sister and brother, hey, take your little brother with you to go see a movie. And of course, that was their jam. So like, all right, come on, you want to go see a movie. I didn't know what movie I was going to see. I just know I was going to go see a movie. Then I was like, oh, wow, this is cool. This is Breakin'. So I remember.
Okay, so how old were you in 84? Were you like five or six?
Six?
Yeah. You would have loved this movie.
Oh, yes. I was like, you know, and so we used to take the bus to this mall, and the mall had a movie theater. So after breaking, and the thing about theaters back in the day, you can stick around. They didn't kick you out for the next show. If it wasn't busy, you can actually stay for the next showing. So we watched it like three times. We like just sat in the theater and waited for the next.
What theater is this? That wasn't how it was in my hometown.
Really? No. I thought that was all theaters back in the day.
No.
Like, if it wasn't sold out, you could actually just like, the ushers would kick you out. You could just like just stand.
No, I think they just felt sorry for you.
No. That's before the theater chains got greedy. Damn it. Yeah, so we watched it like three times, right? And so we're on the bus, like
your parents must have been so happy. We no kids for like 5 hours.
Oh yeah, that's where you're like, go, take your little brother with you. But it was cool. It was I vividly remember seeing Breakin' because my sister took me to see it, and I was like, oh, this is cool. You know, I'm outside like popping and locking and stuff like that, and trying to like do spins.
So if you remember seeing it at the movie theater, shoot us a note.
Yeah, stroll down memory lane. Let us know.
When we review Breakin' 2,
Electric Boogaloo,
we'll share some of those experiences with other folks.
Yes. All right. So thank you guys. And where can they find us, Janelle?
Well, Facebook and Twitter.
And
And we're now on Stitchers. Very exciting. I finally got my shit together and put us up there. Sorry, guys. I'm slow sometimes.
We're somebody now.
It's that day job. It keeps getting in the way.
Yeah, no. Damn day job.
And then remember to download us, review us, rate us on your favorite podcast app.
Yeah. Any, you know.
And share with at least one friend this week, please.
Pass it on. Yeah. You know, any comments, questions, please let us know. We love hearing from you all. And yeah, thanks again for listening. I hope you enjoyed our breakdown of Breakin'. And until then, we wish you all safe travels and
peace.